Ruach HaMaboyim, welcome to an evening of inspiration and growth on raising the Kedush in our home. Baruch Hashem, a full program ahead of us, so we have to start on time. Very often when programs and publications are made, so I get the question quite often. It's very nice, it's a beautiful program, a very nice booklet, but it's not reaching the right people. Make a program and many people come, but the people who really need to hear it, they unfortunately don't come. Very often that's the question I get. And the answer that I give them is that the truth is, I tell them, you're making a mistake. We also need to be neseder. We're also yidden. And we deserve the mizman lezman to refocus, to be neseder, to think about the things which are umid al perek, which are negia to us and our children. And that's why we're here tonight. We have the honor to have with us Rabbi Yossi Chazan from Manchester, England. Besides leading his own shul, Rabbi Chazan is involved in many issues concerning the general frum community in Manchester. Hundreds come to his weekly shiurim and many seek his advice. Tonight, Rabbi Chazan will address a very relevant and important topic. Is it possible to raise holy children in today's environment?
Good evening. There was an outstanding, very brilliant, highly acclaimed scientist, Dr. Shalom Serebnik, who addressed us in Manchester many years ago. And recently, one of my mechutonim, Reb Shabtai Slavatitsky, was at a Shabbaton with him, and he told him how he actually returned to his Jewish roots. Apparently, Dr. Shalom was born into an observant home, but as a teenager, he drifted. He found the allure, the seduction of the secular world to be irresistible, had a brilliant mind, and he was enthralled, transfixed, spellbound by the wonders of physics. He was captivated, enraptured by the mysteries of astronomy, fascinated by chemistry. And he went to university where he excelled, and slowly but imperceptibly, his level of observance began to ebb away. He received there his doctorate, and a sparkling, promising future was beckoning in the world of academia. And he came home with his doctorate to his father. He was beaming with pride from ear to ear. I'm a doctor, PhD. And for some inexplicable reason, his father was underwhelmed. And for the first time in his life, the old Serebnik Sr. sat down his son, the newly ordained doctor, and he said, Shalom, I want to tell you a bit about my life. He said, when the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, invaded my shtetl, they took myself, my parents, all my siblings, my wife, my children, we all went to the death camps. Everyone perished but me. Why? The Nazis learned that he was a magnificent tenor. He was an opera singer. And he composed his original music. And believe it or not, those vile, vicious, depraved beasts who brutally tortured and gassed people by day, they were also very highly cultured and enlightened, sophisticated. And when their day work was over as butchers, enough Jews were gassed, went up the smokestacks of the crematoria, they would retire at night for an evening of cultural enrichment, where they would bring their elegant wives and mistresses, charmed by the delightful strains of Beethoven and Mozart and Bach and Wagner. And when the Germans, Yimach Shemam, found that the Serebnik was a brilliant, talented singer, he was ordered to do the night shift also. He'd go there, they'd remove his zebra stripe prisoner garb, put on appropriate attire, he would mount the stage, and he'd give a concert, and he'd get standing ovations, rapturous applause. And after it was all over, he was, he was a star, he was a celebrity. When it was all over, he was once again a dirty Jew. And the Germans metamorphosized once again into Nazis. But after the feast, afterwards they would feast on a smorgasbord of delectable food and fine wines. But because he was an opera star, a celebrity, they would take chunks of this delicious food and throw it in a bin, a graf shel rei, as Shulchan Aruch would call it, filled with filthy sewage, slime and muck, and they would say, Jew, eat. He would take out a piece of food and try to cleanse it, to clean it. And he said, no. Stick your head into the stinking putrid bin, and that's the way you eat. And Shalom hears this from his father, and he says, Tata Laban, tell me, did you not lose your dignity, your humanity? And the father sighs, and he says, you know, we had no dignity left. It was literally a matter of life or death, a matter of survival. Did you not despair? What kept you from running to the electrified fence that, like so many other Yidlach? And then the old man looks at his son intently, eyeball to eyeball, and he says, the one and only thing that saved me all those years in that hellhole was you, Shalom. And he looks at his father, doesn't understand. I wasn't alive. I was born after the Holocaust. And his father says, what kept me alive was the dream, the hope, that one day I'll be liberated from this place, go to Eretz Yisrael, get married again, reestablish a family, and that the bright torch of Yiddishkeit will be passed on to you. And the problem with you, Shalom, he said, was that I thought you'd be holding aloft a torch, but instead you're carrying a very feeble shvebele, a little match. And those words, that challenge, torch or shvebele, seared into Shalom's consciousness. And then and there, he made a decision to return to Yiddishkeit and to ensure that the Torah, its brilliant, radiant luminosity, would conquer the darkness all around. And this, my dear friends, is the challenge. Or Chodesh Elul, time of Cheshbon HaNefesh, ki eish yotza micheshbon, v'na Cheshbon HaNefesh tafgein afayir. The question we all face is, are we establishing torches or shvebelach? A torch, by definition, could be passed on. It's enduring, it's everlasting. It represents the eternal, the timeless, the imperishable. A match is struck, it burns for a few seconds, then it's snuffed out, it's extinguished, and it shrivels into nothingness. You know, there's the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara says, V'olam yimkar adam kol mashiyesh levi'isa baf talmud chochem. Sell literally the shirt off your back to establish a proper family. And all the Mefarshim asked is a din and halachic axiom, ha-mevazbiz al-yevazbiz yoyser mi-chumish. And the Mefarshim make a crucial distinction. If there's a mitzvah here and now, din is ha-mevazbiz al-yevazbiz yoyser mi-chumish. But if you're dealing with eternity, there's no shir lemaila, there's no maximum. One has to go ad mesiras nefesh. The famous story told here in America, where I live in England now, I'm a New Yorker. There was a bachur yeshiva in Flatbush, Ergitz, and he was living a dual life. By day, he was a litvish yeshiva. He was learning Reb Chaim's and Reb Rachber's and Reb Shimon's, a bright boy. At night, he was a leading drummer in a rock band. Didn't frequent the holiest of places. And he was doing a gig one night, and this guy with like a $5,000 suit and a big fat cigar comes over to him and says, kid, you are great. Come to my office, Madison Avenue, I'll sign you up. He goes for the audition, does well. Here's the contract, sign on the dotted line. You could become famous, one of the biggest rock bands in the States. He glances at it, and for the first time he sees the first audition, the first night, this Friday night. And although this guy ain't no tzaddik, you could imagine, he's a spiritual schizophrenic, oh, but there were certain red lines in his life. To play on Shabbos, that was a step too far. But on the other hand, celebrity status, the red carpet, you can imagine. And he was torn. He said, give me 24 hours to think it over. And he had a psarov, a mashpia. Obviously, he was an open-minded person. He says, Rebbe Laban, what do I do? Give me some adroch. The Rebbe was a smart man. Instead of telling no, skila, go home, take a piece of paper, make a line. On the left side, write all you will gain by joining this top-of-the-line rock band. On the other side, on the right side, what will you gain by remaining in Dalet Am Shalach, or remaining in Erlich Yid? The next day, 24 hours later, Taki comes back to his Rav. You can see his eyes are reddened, they're puffed. A lot of tears were shed. And he shows him the list. On the left side is Rashima Grace Vidagulus, Lang Vidagulus. He'll become a celebrity, famous, girlfriends, geld, you name it. Whole long list. On the right-hand side, there was one word, and that word was Nitzchis, eternity. He says, you know what? I'm staying here. And this Be'emes is the challenge to all of us here, torch or Schwebele, Nitzchis or the fleeting, transitory fashion of the day. Chodesh El, twice a day we say a pasuk. Achas ra'alti meis Hashem o'yisavaki. Just one thing, a Jew pleads from the depth of his heart. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemechaye. Dwell in the house of Hashem our whole life. Lachit benoyim Hashem ulevakir becholi. Beforeshim asked, hastir lav reisha seifel av seiferesha. If levakir becholi, a bikur means a visit. It's a fleeting, occasional visit, which is the opposite of shifti beveis Hashem kol yemechaye. Many Mepharshim learn a simple pshat. The Shifti Beveis Hashem doesn't refer to a Beis HaKnesses, it doesn't refer to a Beis Medrash, it refers to the homes that we build. Our homes have to be a Beis Hashem. Allah has to be a house where the Shechina is there. Allah has kama v'kama b'chsidi chabad. I heard from Alta Chsidim, the Sharf Chsidim Amol and benching, used to add the line in benching, Harachman hu yivorech es adineinu mereinu v'rabeinu balabayis hazeh. And we all believe b'emunah shleima that we'll be reunited with our Rebbe. And the shaila is, if the Rebbe comes in our home, will he be tzufriden? What he finds there? What's read there? What we see there? What goes on there? A hug in the home? At the end of the day, I must tell you, all of us, whenever you have a tzora in life, there's one address. I remember when I was in Kailingham in Australia, we had our first child, and the doctor then told my wife, sorry, but you'll never, ever have any more children. And you can imagine, I was Sebrachim Gecheres HaNishmer. I wrote to the Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, the daughter who was born afterwards, and the 10 children after her, she just had a baby yesterday, Shabbos, having the bris on Shabbos Chayel, Baruch Hashem. When the Rebbe, when you come, and you're going to be with the Rebbe again, and you're going to show your children and your inuklach to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe will say, for these children, I stood by the oil, in the snow, in the sleet, in the rain, in the heat. What have you done with my children, with the Zera Be'erach Hashem? And the emes is, this Indian of creating holy children in reina, in pure, pristine, holy homes, first of all, what has to be makdim is doable. And I see it all the time. I was just at Gimel Tamuz, I think, was in London speaking. On the way back, I met a Rav, a colleague from London. He tells me there was a boy in his Gehillah, just got bar mitzvahized. He finished all of Bavli and Yerushalmi before his bar mitzvah. And things are doable, believe it or not. There are Bochrim today in Chabad who have finished Shas. There are people, I'm from an old, different, older generation. I look at many of today's Bochrim, Yishemzuch. They're Mesiras Nefesh of Shlichas, and their Siddishkeit, and their Midas Trumius, are something we can all be ashamed. And wherever you go in the world, you find there's a common denominator. What kind of homes do these children come from? They come from homes where they believe one can instill Kedusha in our society with all the Nisyanis Bisman Azeh. There are homes where there's a Simchas Achayim, where there's an Eslavus Mitzvahs, where there's Chsidishkeit, where the father spends as much time preparing for the Shabbos Suddah as the mother does in the cooking. There's a din Pei Aleph in Yeredeya that even though Al Pi Alocha you're allowed to be Meinik from a Nochris, you're allowed to have a Gentile wet nurse. Abba Shulchan Aruch says you should avoid it because it's metamtim halev and it's goyim midas mushchos. Says the Bir Agral Asar, where's the Mokr? A Rashba. And the Mokr is from Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasha. To which everybody asks, but Moshe Rabbeinu has also a specific reason. Pesha osid, the Dabir Mashchino can't be mainly from a Dover Tomit. Val Korchach, one has to say that you have to raise every Jewish child as a future Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a famous story that there was a cheder in Yerushalayim, a Talmud Torah, and it was a bit mispasher, a bit, whatever. And the menal of the cheder came to Reb Chaim Zonnenfeld, the Rav of Yerushalayim, for a michtav hamlotza. All Yerushalmis, they say, when they're born, they come out azoy, from the mother's womb. And he needs a hamlotza from the Rav. Reb Chaim Zonnenfeld wasn't happy with this particular cheder. It was a bit, whatever. So he tells me, tell me something. You know your student body. Is it possible that Mashiach is one of your students growing up from your cheder? No, Rabbi, that's taking it a bit too far. I know my Olam. I can't give you your Michtav Hamlotza. Because Chazal said, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Al Tigu b'Mashichoy, Elu Tinoikos Shel Bes Rabbo. Is the Charaya how you treat Tinoikos Shel Bes Rabbo and his Mashiach, anointed ones. And therefore Chazal say, Kol Amam Mibench Rosho, or Talmud Rosho, his punishment is Ain of Chaos. His eyesight wanes. Why? Because obviously his assessment, his view of his Talmidim, of his children, is incorrect. He hasn't used the richtige oi. We have a principle, we have a klal when it comes to Yiddishkeit. Havu goydel elikeinu. One has to think big. As I always tell my people in my shul and holy law, life is too short to be small. Have a she'ifa for gadlus. And this comes, you see, the kids today who grow up to be kinayin harach sidish yikin derzera berach Hashem. You see parents who had mesiras nefesh for the chinuch. Someone once said, your kids are going to grow up to be a Talmud Chochem l'fi erech. How much he learns is a smodo, the shiurim. But they'll be yirei shemayim to the degree that you, this oiskigis gosn teren, how many tears you shed over them. Tzadikim said, just like a child can't be born without blood, it's a din in halacha. So too a child can't become a yirei shemayim without teren. Without a dugma chaye, chanoich lenar al pidarka itay tzorim from the father. And therefore I always tell people, Anova is a great madrig. Aber that's for kriyash malamita, bein chalav en kinech. In front of your children, be like a rebbe feeling a tish. With the vayigbali bebedarki Hashem. The Gemara says at the beginning of Shabbos, Hocha di ikir Shabbosu, tani ovis v'tani tolus. The person has a Shabbos table. If a person spends hours preparing different Torah, stories of the Rebbe, then you could be sure they'll be ovis and they'll be tolus. You ask the question, if a person fears shnefesh v'shulchun oruch, every simen, every sif, dark yachsidis, so why is it that not everyone is successful in producing kind of children that they would want, that we would want? And you can ask this question about every one of us. Pasuk says, Arye Shoag Mila Yira. And we know the Shalaka, which says, Arye is Rinutrikun, El Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Hashanah Rabbah. Why is it that not everyone is trembling, Zeichlim Veruyadim in Chodesh El? And the very simple answer, you ever go to the Bronx Zoo? Yeah? You ever see the lions? Are you scared? The Arye Shoag Mila Yira? Nay. Because certain times you could see the Arye, but there's a Mesach HaMavdil, there's a Mechitza, which prevents the lion's roar from penetrating your heart. I once heard from a Guter Yid. He said, El is Nutrikun, the Nusach Reva Oilam, not Nusach Chabad, Efshir L'Hiskayim V'Lamid L'Funech. I thought, what's Pshat? That's a nice word. Efshir, simple Pshat is because and a Yid knows that panecha in lanu panu lechalis. How do you stand by the Eibush Yom Neroim? So a person has an el is efshelus kaiyim v'lamid lefanecha. The deeper pshat, the deeper words. What is the context here? There's a bracha we say is probably the most frequent bracha every day called Ashri Yotzer. You all familiar with Ashri Yotzer? Get out! I just had a fellow in my shul, traditional Jew coming back to Yiddishkeit. And he had a prostate operation. And he was on a catheter, Rahman al-Azan, for over a week. In pain. Finally, he's getting better. They removed the catheter. Said, Rabid, you could go to the Beis Kisa by yourself now, naturally. He came back. Never opened the Gemara in his life. And he opened this little art scroll sitter next to his bed. And he started making the brach of Asher Yotzer. So the nurse thought that he was in pain. He said, are you all right? Finish the bracha, and explain what Asher Yotzer is about. Nurse said, Shiksela, can I see this blessing? Yeah, he showed her the translation in English. The nurse started crying. She said, I've never seen such a beautiful prayer in my life. And you know, in Parshat Pshat, it's brought in the Seder Ayoyim from the Guri Arizal, someone who says, Asher Yotzer Mila B'Mila B'Kavono, there's a promise that he will never need Roifim V'Loi Rufoisim. He won't need doctors, he won't ever become ill, etc., etc. But Beruchnius, it says in Tzvorim, Kubolim, person who says Asher Yotzer, he becomes this Dabik with Kedusha, the heavens shake, he's going to be Yichudim L'Maila, Gevaldig Nachas Ruch. What's so special about Asher Yotzer? How does it relate to the Efshel Eskayim, to the Avoida of El? I thought to myself, Poshur, what's Pshat here? I don't know the Noyam Siach Sarfik Kuyvish of holy people. I'm a simple guy. I'm a rabbi in holy law. But Pshat! Why does Asher Yotzer turn the world, shake the heavens? It's Gemara in Baba Kama, the Samach Tes. The Gemara says, a person, Hagoizu, when this Yashua Bail, you steal an object, the Chayfetz. And the owners haven't given up hope of reclaiming it. Shneim eina yochel akdisha. Nobody could sanctify, could be makdish this chayfetz. Zeh mishum she'eina shaloi, v'zeh mishum she'eina b'shusay. One is not his, he doesn't own it. And the other is not in his possession. And the Gemara says later in Daf Kuf Hei, that a koifer b'pikodin, it's a gazel, he's like a gazel. That's the tuichin of the bracha of Asher Yotzer. We say the Eibish Asher Yotzer is a odom b'chochm. He created man, as Rashi learns Prat, with Chochmah. He instilled, he bequeathed Chochmah into a person. Chochmah b'miluah is gimatria taryagarad. Uvorovay nekovim nekovim chalom chalom. There are evorim chitzoinim, your eyes, your ears, your mouth. And there's chalulim chalulim, which the Tur says, in Simin Vav, is gimatria ramach. These are the evorim pnimim. If that which is closed becomes open, or vice versa, we can't exist. In other words, there are ivorim in the person that have to remain open, and there are ivorim in the person that have to remain closed. Take the eyes, for example. A famous Chiddush of Art, we say for Pesach, Kol chamira v'chamia de'ikar b'shusi. How come a yid has this oyer in his heart? The chazisi and the loy chazisi. Mezet vos medarf nishtu, mezet nisht vos medarf yo. If things that are open are closed, i'efshel is kayim lefanech. We end off optimistically with the bracha roife chol bosor umafilas. What does bosor mean? The Gemara said in Soita Dar Shabbechon, bosor is a nutrikon. Bosor stands for busha, srucha, rimu. That's bosor. Aber the Eibish des Ruife heals the Bosor. Umafli lasses, the Ramotaiches. The Eibish des Kol Yochol is Mekasha, Ruchnius, and Gashmis. In other words, the Eibish instills within it, the Eibish gave us Eivorim. The Eibish gave us Kedusha. And the Shaila is, why don't things, the messages, we're Chabadnikim, Moyach Shalat Alev, which grada nutrikin maisa, Moyach Shalat Alev, scramble the letters. Why don't we hear the message of the neshama? Nor there is a parshut, there is a din and halacha that trei koilulim nishtam. You can't hear two things simultaneously. And if our minds, if our eyes, if our ears are faglivert, if a patchkit, with other in yonim, even if they're not, they're in shus, they're not also. Alachas kama v'kama, things which are prohibited, then the one doesn't become a keli e'efshel eskayim. And that's the avoid of today. Svarim HaKadoshim say that el is also nutrikun onu l'ko ve'ineinu l'ko. And they teach, what is the evan ha'boichin? How do I test if onu l'ko, if ani l'doivi, to what madreig, to what extent is my love to the Rabbeinu Shleilu? If einenu l'ko. The ayin, you know, in halacha, when a person, bar minon, when a person passes away from this world, the first aver you close is the eyes. Because the ikur kedusha of a person is in his eyes. And the eye is the most temperamental of avarim, one speck of chol, and it can't bear it. All kedusha depends on the einayim. Sinai is Gimachia Ayin, etc., etc. Kabbalah Malch Shemayim, Shema. Close your eyes. And that is the, one of the eagerness, yoinness, and tests of us in this moment of Chodesh El. Let me just leave you with a story. I don't want to have this whole group of speakers here tonight. I am here, there's a mashbak, and there's the rabbonim, mashviim. I'm here just as a opener. The prote protim will be revealed by people who are far greater than me. But let me just give you just a vort, just one word of this ayers. One of the reasons why the Ari Yeshog, the lion roars, and there's a mechitza, because all of us believe we have a cheskes chayim. So we call in English squatter's rights to life. We were here last year, and we were here the year before, and we think, the shtikl in Zoyrako, this is hay barnashka ozul bay almo, ksover almo dilehu vishtakach bo ledor idor. I'm here forever, I'm immortal. Rachman al-Islam, 3 years ago I had a heart attack, and I remember vividly the ambulance, the blue lights taking me to the hospital. And I can't give over the emotions. How do you feel when you know, I'm a rabbi, I deal with this all the time, you know you're having a heart attack, you don't know what the next minute will bring. What really, at that moment in time, is wichtig by you? What are you thinking about? What do you care about? The end of the day, I mean, the speakers will bring out the nisyonos of this generation, v'chulu v'chulu. Let me give you just one story, perhaps. We don't have a cheskes achayim. You know, I shouldn't say this in a holy place. There's a magazine, which shouldn't be read. It's called Time Magazine. A friend of mine used to subscribe to Time Magazine. And at the end of the year, in the middle of the year, whatever, he gets a postcard in the mail. And the postcard reads, your subscription to Time has run out. For 52 weeks more of time, send $100 to the post box office. He told me about it. That's really where we're up to at the end of Chodesh El. Our subscription to Time, Cheskes Chayim, has run out. And now we stand before the Rabbi Yisrael and we ask for another 52 weeks of time, of life. How do you ensure it? At the end of the day, there's a principle, first of all, whatever we are aber kinder. People want to have reina erlecha kinder. Let me tell you a story. There was a year and a half ago, there is a mall in Haifa called the Cine Mall. There were thousands and thousands of people in the mall on that particular day. And Mamish Pilliplois, Mamish Anes, the police found a car packed with hundreds of kilograms of explosives, which was positioned next to a pillar, which was holding up the parking underneath, the underground parking beneath the mall. If that would have exploded, Rahman al-Islam, I mean, the consequences would be too terrible to even think about. There were thousands of people in the mall. The police themselves said it was Mamish a miracle. What happened? Let me tell you a story. A few weeks before, there was a girl, Haifa is called the Ir Aduma, it's not yet religious city. And there was a girl who Nebuch was not feeling well, went to the GP, the doctor, sent into the hospital, scans, and they found Nebuch, she had a huge growth in her stomach, the size of a grapefruit. And it was a debilitating disease, it had metastasized, she basically had stomach cancer. And they said she has mamish 1 or 2 weeks to live. There's nothing medical science could offer her. Let her go home and live the last week or two in life in comfort and peace of familiar surroundings at home. Fine. The mother, a Yiddish mamma for it, she pleaded, she begged, she could do something. So, nudge, a Jewish mother, what could you do? They said, you know what? Okay. They were going to make the operation just to amuse the mother, keep her happy. They got a trainee doctor, he could use the training, and he'll do the operation. Come back in 3 days. The night before the operation, this girl who went to a non-religious school, knew very little of Yiddishkeit, she's sitting on her bed, she knows what the future holds. She, for the first time in her life, she opens her eyes, like lifts up her eyes to heaven, and she says, Rabbi Yisrael, I know once upon a time, we had a Beis HaMikdash. And we had a Beis HaMikdash, people brought up korbanos. But when they say, no, Rabbim, there's no Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to bring you a korban. She took a bin liner, garbage bin liner. She went to a wardrobe. She took out all the big day shachats, all the immodest clothing from her, put it in the bin, went to the end of her garden, lit a fire, and she brought up her little korban, her bamaktana. Today, next day, she had to go with her father to the hospital for this operation. She didn't have what to wear. She wore a nightgown, put a coat over it, and gang it. They opened her up. The doctor thought it's a lost cause. and there was no, the thing was shrunk, and it had metastasized, and it was benign. Doctors removed whatever there was. You live the hundred and zwanzig. After she recovered sufficiently, her friends, her girlfriends came to visit her, Biker Chaylim, and she told them this amazing story of the korban that she brought. A week later, all the girls, not yet observant girls in her class, came. So we all decided singularly we want to bring up a korban to the Eibishter. So they went to the girl's house in her backyard. This was a bum of gedela. And all of these teenage girls brought up there, took their pekela, and they all burnt it. And the next day, you have a bunch of teenage Jewish girls without anything to wear, literally. They all went to the cinema in Haifa to purchase a new wardrobe, a new set of clothing. And it was at that moment that those girls were in the mall that Nisim occurred, and everyone was saved. And the moral of the story is, if you want, we all need, as individuals, as a tzibur, we need siyata deshavai in everything we do. That's what we're doing here in the month of El. And there's no greater keli. If you want to make a miracle, you want to transcend your own nature. May the Eibish to help that, as will be discussed, that which we have to eradicate from our hearts, from our homes. We should all have reina homes. We should make it like an asher yotzer and all the avodah, the bir and avodah zorah. And we should be taka zoicha in that school that all of us be inscribed for achsivach simetoyva, good gemenshjar, begashmi yisvaruach, ashnas gulav yeshua.